Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Now this is Hollywood Unlocked. Yo, what up, everybody? It's Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored. I'm Jason Lee.
And I'm Melissa Ford, a.k.a. The Curve Queen.
It's Damus. Let's get it started.
Okay, before we get started, make sure you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, and, of course, watching us on YouTube.
Yes.
New decade, new wig. Here I am.
It looks good.
Thank you. Everybody thinks I have a wig, so fuck it. I'm going to play into the narrative.
No, somebody actually said, they were like, is it a toupee? I'm like, it's not fake hair, people. It's his hair. Yeah. I don't know why they think it's fake.
Yeah, somebody somewhere said, can I run my fingers through it? What? What? No. No. And by the way, thank you for pointing out that my skin has not been perfect. You know, the thing about it is I went to your esthetician and she worked on me. And I haven't been working with any esthetician for a while because my skin was getting dry. And so what I did was I started using all these products. I'm not used to wearing products on my face. And so it started, like, if I shave before I get here or put on the
product,
it'll
irritate it.
It irritates the skin. Yeah. I saw myself in one of the videos. I was like,
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
So I ain't got shit but water right now. I'm so dry. My skin is so dry. My lips right now feel like a motherfucking bottom of a foot.
Well, then you need to see Carla again.
No, fuck that. I'm not seeing. I'm seeing me, God, and water.
She's going to hydrate your skin. She'll do, like, a triple oxygenating facial for you.
I have a facialist in New York. If you ever, this is a, just, I'm going to endorse it right now. Her name is Evelyn. She's a little Chinese lady at Oasis Day Spa on Park Avenue. When you walk in, she goes, ooh. She letting you know straight up, nigga, that shit is fucked up.
Yeah.
But when she gets up on it, she said, she worked on my face one day and she goes, oh, and she started to massage my hair. I said, don't touch my hair because I don't want no issues with this line. This line is precision. She said, oh, yeah, your line look like Drake. Yeah. You got to go see Evelyn.
Well, I'm just saying that you need to hydrate your face. Traveling also takes a lot of the hydration out of your
just
skin.
Just put some shea butter on it. All this fancy estheticians and this and this. Put some shea butter on your face.
Okay, listen to the young person talking, okay?
You see what I do.
Damage is the person that actually made me feel really insecure. Let me just go ahead and put this out. I get it. Damage has abs, so everybody wants to fuck Damage. I really am tired of hearing everybody wanting to fuck Damage. And by the way, we're going to get you I'm Not Merlin Santana sweater.
Yeah, it's,
let's just make it. Put that on the note.
We got to leave that in 2020.
Because if one more person says, this is kind of scary, they think I'm in the Illuminati and somehow have resurrected Merlin Santana. You cannot bring a dead body back. Tupac is dead. Biggie is dead. Merlin Santana is dead.
Rest in peace.
And let's kill that right now.
Please.
But I was watching the video with my bad skin, and then here comes this motherfucker over here
glowing.
Looking like they melted Hershey chocolate, just poured it on his
shea
ass.
Shea butter, that's it.
Yeah,
but I only know one person at Shea Butter, and that's Richie, the owner, and he won't call me back. I ain't paying for it. At this point, endorse me, bitch.
Yeah.
Not Richie, but everybody. Bitch.
I wholeheartedly agree.
So look, I've been waiting for you to be here to give the listeners an understanding of your honest opinion about my book. I will not be hurt if you say it's trash, but I will say it is number one in two categories on Amazon. God Must Have Forgotten About Me. The link is going to be right here for a while. And I'm beating Rachel Maddow. Like, it's my goal in life to be all the white people who are successful at what I do, and I'm doing it.
Okay, so
what do you think?
The Melissa Ford book review.
So the two episodes that you guys taped before the end of the year, I wasn't able to be here just because I was going through some really, really, really intense personal issues back home. My mom has cancer, and I'm going to try really hard not to cry. So I want to ask first, did you guys talk about the show? Like, Damage, I know you read it. Did you guys discuss?
Yeah, we
did. Damage did talk about
it, yes. Can I ask what you thought about the book? You know, I've known Jason for a very long time.
Yeah.
You don't know him as long as I've known him so I want to know.
You're lucky.
I want to know what your perspective was. It's not going to influence mine. Mine is my own. So
I just think for me, a lot of these stories in the book he has told throughout the time I've been on the show. And it's good to kind of put a streamline and a storyline to all the ideas and everything that makes up Jason. That was one of the bigger things. And then secondly, I feel like there's a lot of people that went through the same things, you know, as Jason, as being a latchkey kid and feeling like they're being on their own. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is something somebody could read and kind of feel like they're not alone, because mm-hmm. I feel like people that come up in certain situations, like we did in the inner city, you feel like you're alone in a lot of your journeys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with social media, you can find, you know, that outreach and that helping hand. But when you have something like that, because I'm sure a lot of people look up to Jason. There's mm-hmm. a lot of people that see Jason do Wildin' Out. Mm-hmm. He's on all different types of platforms. To see that he came from here and it ended up this way, mm-hmm. I feel like it's very inspirational. So it was a lot of things that took away from it. But for me, the best part was to put all those stories that he kind of jokes about, mm-hmm. but I know he's serious, to put that in perspective and see how that affected the person we're sitting here with today.
Right. Okay. So... This is what I'll say. Over the course of our friendship, a lot of people, you know, before Hollywood Unlocked, before Love and Hip Hop, before even Low Key Messy, before all of that, I knew you. Yeah. We met like back in like 2008, 2009.
The people that are listening here, the Low Key Messy, you literally had to have known me for a long time to know that Hollywood Unlocked didn't just pop up.
Yeah. That you had been having, you know, you'd been trying to conceptualize how, you know, what Hollywood Unlocked became, you know, but, and you were, you know, you had all these great ideas, but didn't know how to, you know, manifest them into reality. Mm-hmm. And Low Key Messy was one of them. And when you told me the title, I was like, oh, nigga, shit, okay. But, so I've known Jason for a really long time. And this is honest. A lot of the time in the very beginning, a lot of people used to question why I was friends with Jason, because he was like, it's my nickname for him, Scorched Earth. You know, like he was a lunatic and an alcoholic,
No, say it.
Yeah. He discovered.
And this was during the birth of Twitter. So yeah. What I was feeling and what I was consuming
if it was in his head, it flew out of his mouth and in his fingers. Damn. In Twitter rants that were not epic.
Not one filter. Nothing.
There was one particular Twitter rant. I'm not even going to go over what it was, but I literally called him. I said, Jason, stop right now. And one of the things I said, I was just like, you will be judged in your future by your past. I was just like, I know you cannot see past this moment, but I can. Please stop. Whoever put a battery in your back, stop talking to them. Please.
It was a 3-day rant.
He wouldn't stop.
All day.
Y'all can't sit here and bring up this rant and not give us a piece.
No,
you know, what goes on in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. I'll just say that much.
It ends up on Twitter.
And so, you know, people used to ask me at times, why are you friends with Jason? Because he's like, he's toxic. He's this, he's that. And, you know, I went to school for psychology and that sort of thing. And then that just makes you so understanding to people's pain and the things that the trauma that they carry with them and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I would always say, I'm just like, I can't, because I know who he is. Like, I know what his spirit is. I know. And I just know that he suffered a lot of trauma in his life. And I refuse to make him pay for it twice. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have a very different relationship than he has with a lot of people. And you are now self-actualizing. You are now coming into the person that I always knew you were. Underneath all of those levels.
In tweets.
All of those levels.
I deleted all the tweets, by the way. Don't go look for them, because once I'd started Hollywood Unlocked, I went and looked at, like, I went 3,000 back, yeah, and it was like, I had to cut them out.
Yeah, it was it was vicious. It was vicious. But so it's, I never knew what the trauma was, so to speak. I never knew, like, there's this one particular moment where you talk about your mom and DCFS, is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm. When she called them
to come get. I mean, I'm sitting on the floor in my apartment reading this book. I read it in basically 48 hours with, you know, some sleep, hiking involved, and, you know, errands and stuff like that. But I read the whole book, and I'm sitting on the floor reading this book, and it's engrossing. It's traumatic, and you don't want to think about a child going through the things that you went through. Mm-hmm. You really don't. It's horrific. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's amazing that you're still standing, and that you've persevered to the level that you have, because the first 7 years of your life, Jesus, mm-hmm. like it's not for the faint of heart, you know? And I think that a lot of people are going to, you know, maybe see parts of themselves in it. Maybe.
What did you think about your relationship with your mother reading my relationship with mine?
It's a whole lot. It's much better than
you think so?
It's much better than your relationship with because my mom didn't abandon me. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't do that. I think that with my mother, she just didn't have the tools to know how to deal with such a strong personality as mine. You know, I mean, my mother's mother died when she was 15 years old. You know, my mother met my father very shortly afterwards. And there's a 21-year age difference between my parents. My mother was an extraordinarily beautiful woman who never knew it, you know, and ever reinforced those wonderful things about my mother for her to flourish and blossom into, you know, into a, you know, really like a spirited woman like I am. Mm-hmm. That's sad, you know? I'm sorry, I don't want to start crying, but I'm just like, my heart is just broken for my mother. And I look at her and I just think to myself, thank God that I have an opportunity to like make our relationship so much better. Mm. Because you didn't really get that opportunity. Mm. And it's just so sad when somebody has just kind of lived a version of a condemned life and didn't get to do all the things that we do. Mm-hmm, we live a wonderful life. Mm-hmm. We travel. We make our own decisions. We've created our businesses. We're entrepreneurs. Yeah, it's fucking hard. Mm-hmm. But the outcome, like, you know, like, I mean, it's all said and done. You know, you can the feeling that you get of I did that, you know. The only thing my mom feels like she can do from this life, you know, is to try to make my life easier.
Mm. But that was the parallel, I think, between my mom and your mom. And I also think, like, you know, just as your mother had her trauma with her mom, you know, my mother was raped by her father, which I talk about in the book. And when I look at like where we've been able to grow past, you know, we could have lived in that. We could have repeated that.
Yeah.
You know, I've chosen not to have children because of the fact that I did not have proper parenting. And I realized that I'm not going to bring a kid into this world, especially as crazy as this world is, unless I know for sure that kid is going to be the only priority in my life. I just don't see that for myself right now.
I agree.
And I think that, you know, like, what I appreciate about you and your ability to have this relationship with your mom is that, yeah, you do find value in trying to fix the relationship while she's going through what she's going through. And I did not. Yeah. I mean, you know, we really tried to start literally at the end of her life, you know, and I think that's why I wrote this book now, because people are saying, you know, when my agents heard about the book, they were like, why don't you wait until you have a daytime talk show and then you have a bigger platform? I'm like, listen, everybody watching, everybody here, everybody in the room has a platform. Mm. Whether it's 3,000, 300,000, or 3 million, we all have a platform. And I know, having watched interviews that we've done, that we were a little show that just did a little interview that went super viral all over the world. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a million followers to tell your story. That story, if it has the right impact, will reach everybody that it needs to. And I really felt like, what better time? Why do I wait to the end of my journey in my career to drop a memoir when I want to drop something now that I can continue to go out and inspire people? It's literally birthed a whole new outlook on, you know, it made me go back and say, when I started Hollywood Unlocked, I said, you know, once I get to this goal, I'm going to start giving back. Mm-hmm. I woke up one day and said, I surpassed that goal a long time ago.
Yeah.
Once I become syndicated TV, well, we're syndicated radio. So now we've started building out, like, how can we go and touch people with these stories and give them the hope that we found on our own, mm-hmm. that you as a person who was adopted found on your own, mm-hmm. to not become the cycle that continues to permeate communities all over the world that we come from. Mm. And I think that I really wanted to hear what you thought about it, because, yeah, the first 7 years was crazy as hell. But even up until, you know, even after that was crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it was. I mean, like, the death of, you know, your brother, Rodney, that was fucked up. you know, like, and I'm not trying to give stuff away in the book. You have to read the book to find out the circumstances, but it made me so angry because, I mean, like, here's this person who was basically like the only parental figure you kind of have, and his life was taken away, like snuffed out over something that had nothing to do with him, just like wrong place, wrong time type of thing. And it's just like, I was really angry for you. And that's why I think that the book is going to reach a lot of people, because I'm going to use my favorite word here. You really have a very, as a reader, you have a very visceral reaction to the things that you're writing about. You feel sadness. You feel pain. You feel anger. You feel, you know, you laugh along with some of the silly shit that went on in your life and the things that you did. And you can actually see the temper tantrums that you would have, like when you would just, oh, fuck this, fuck that, fuck you, you know, like you can see you doing
and
that.
And how that manifests into a grown adult on Twitter.
Yeah.
Saying fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck everything. Scorched earth.
Yeah.
Why? Because my earth has already been scorched.
Yeah.
And I think it gives context. Again, I keep trying to tell people, please read the book and enjoy it and get from it what you can. But understand, I'm still me and I'm still human and I'm still going to get up here and talk and do what I do. But I also learned, too, that, like, you know, over the years, I learned that I don't have to burn somebody's world down to make me feel better because they did something to me, because I was finding validation in, okay, you did this to me, but guess what? I just destroyed your whole world. Yeah. I will even say up to last year with Nikki, like, it got personal. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to get personal. You know what I mean? And so I've left that go. We don't even write about her anymore. Like, we're moving on. We don't want no problems. Gio Benitez, who's he works for ABC News and Good Morning America. I watch it every day. Me and him, we started following each other and exchanging. I sent him the book. I sent him the book to take a look at. He said, forgiveness is letting go of the hope that the past could be any different. Perhaps my favorite aha from Oprah, because it perfectly characterized the way I look at life, is that every little thing that has happened and every relationship with another human, good or bad, has led me to where I am today. And so I forgive them not. Well, I forgive them not. I forgive not for them, but for me. It is what I thought about reading your book. So it was just one of those things where there's been a lot of self-reflection. Again, I'm not saying that this is a rebranding tool or I'm going to be any different on the radio tour tool. This is literally just my story. Yeah. And I'm so surprised that we have we're going around and touring now, and tickets are selling out and people are coming to listen to it. So I really wanted to hear what you thought.
But is that what you felt? Did you really feel the I am forgiving for myself? Is that what you felt like in writing this and writing these stories?
My whole goal was, let me put it all in writing. So my father, my mother, my brother's death, the woman who killed him, who's out now. Mm-hmm. Had she been released probably a month or two after she killed him, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Right. You would have.
You saw the story where we had the guns and went to the place.
Yeah.
When people are mad at me about the title online, God must, how you say God must have forgot about you?
Oh, people need to calm the fuck down.
You have a, when you go back and look over your life, God was with me that night in that hallway.
Right.
Because if that door would have opened, I wouldn't be here right now. Because I know in my mind, and you know, just in building, you see me. When I have my mind made up on something, it's going to happen. Regardless of the consequence or the benefit. And that was a night where I know. That's why I said all through my life I thought he wasn't there. But, you know, you learn over the thing. And it was been a personal thing. I will tell you, when I said I was going to therapy, writing this, and I will tell everybody writing the story, even just how you're emotional talking about your mom, and I know you're starting your journey of doing it. It is the most
cathartic.
Yes, but the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Like you write it, it's final, but now you want to proofread it. So now proofreading it, you have to go through the details because you have to describe what the room felt like. You know, I think I talk about, you know, my brother's brains were laying on the ground.
Yeah, you did.
And people were stepping in them.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's
you have to be ready to go through it all. And if you're going to write a book, especially like a book like this, you have to put it all out there.
Yeah.
Even the description of being molested is in the book.
Yeah.
You know, and anyway.
It's very descriptive. And I mean, I thought about the, you know, you talking about forgiveness, because on my show I did a whole episode about forgiveness. But I did it before I talked to my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew my mom was sick, but I didn't know how mm-hmm. sick.
Yeah.
And I was still holding on to my anger. And now I want to erase the episode because it's like I felt like, oh my God, the level of guilt that I'm carrying around is like a fucking bag of bricks. Mm-hmm. It's like insane. And just in terms of like your relationship with your mom, I hope people kind of understand that any judgment that they had for you prior to reading this, to understand the weight of everything you were fucking carrying around. We all have our stuff, but some of us are carrying around a heavier load than others. Mm-hmm. And we're doing so maybe not even knowing how heavy that load is until mm-hmm. we actually have the wherewithal or the maturity or like the articulation to actually understand it, mm-hmm. you know? Like when you were talking about being molested and not understanding the concept of molestation, what it really actually was, mm-hmm. just felt wrong, mm-hmm. you know? It was deep. It was deep.
Well, I appreciate you reading it.
Yeah.
And and people laugh at me, oh, he just listens to gospel music. The Easters explains why it's so influential in my life, you know? And if you look at like Edwin who died, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't even go to his funeral.
Yeah.
You got to get the book to read about Edwin. But I try not to live with regrets because at that moment in time, you know, I have I have my brother's funeral. My foster dad, who was a big part of my story,
mm-hmm.
preaches at his funeral and dies a week later.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, like, you know, but what I will say is that even with all those dark stories and the reason why I told them all is that so many people watching the show, like, they all in the comments, I'm going to get the book to support. And I appreciate that. Get the book for you.
Mm-hmm.
Get the book to know, like, you're going through what you're going through with your mom. After my brother's death, what I got the strength of, and this is probably not healthy, I'm going to go to therapy and figure it out, was I said, fuck that. I'm not mourning shit else for more than 3 weeks.
Right.
I'm not mourning more than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So when my mother died, I said this, and I tried to be as candid as I could without seeming like an asshole, is I don't wish for any of our relationship to be different
mm-hmm.
because I learned so many things in it, you know? And people say, well, what's the one thing in your book that you could change if you could? Is it selfish to say nothing?
No.
Because
it made you who you are.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, it gave me the strength to figure shit out.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I wanted you two to read it because your opinions mattered. And, you know, I hope people pick it up. It's available. You know, go out there and get it.
Yeah.
And now you got to get to working on yours.
Oh, no, it's happening. Yeah. I mean, you know, I thought to myself, you know, your book came out and I was just like, fuck, I'm behind. But then I had to also realize...
Motivation.
No, you were in a car accident.
I forgot about, you know, I was just like, oh, wait, a year and a half ago, I almost died.
You had another chapter to work
on. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, you know? I almost died, and then I had to regain...
This show is a reality show.
Yeah, I had to regain everything. I had to, you know, walk and talk and do all that stuff, get over broken heart, and then I was, come back to work and... figure out what that felt like, you know, normalize that again, and then start a new brand. I've kind of been doing some things.
Yeah, you've been doing the work.
And so the whole smell the roses kind of thing that we talk about a lot, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're always thinking 4, 5, 10 steps ahead that when you've accomplished something, you do not think, you don't cheer for yourself or pat
you
yourself on the back. You can't bask in it because you're like, oh yeah, no. I already knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm already 5 steps ahead, but for the, you know, during the Christmas season when I was at home dealing with all my home life stuff, I just had to sit back and actually realize, and your book also made me think like that, you know, like I hope that he's really relishing in this moment because that is a massive accomplishment. Mm-hmm. I had to sit back and give myself a break for thinking that I'm behind considering what I went through.
I had to think the same. No, that's the thing. No matter what you got going on, we all feel like we ain't doing enough.
Yeah.
And just surviving was enough.
Yeah.
You know?
What is it? And is it social media that makes us think that we're not doing enough because we're looking at everybody else's lives?
Nah. Because everybody don't feel like that. It's called ambition.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to feel like that. You're supposed to always be hungry for the next thing. What's the next thing? What's the next chapter?
Yeah.
That's actually a blessing. But everybody doesn't feel like that.
But I will say, even with all the ambition, I do sometimes feel some of what she does. Like, in the sense of, like, I'll give you an example, right? Mm-hmm. December, I got really sick. Mm-hmm. There's like this badass flu going
everybody
on in LA.
Everybody was so sick.
I had just said, I haven't been sick in so long. I ain't been sick in so long.
That shit hit you in the next
day.
They
was like, hey, nigga. We here. This is right here. Fuck. I mean, like, and you know, my lymph nodes got swollen. So I'm like, well, there's cancer. You know?
Oh my God, no.
Then I was coughing. I'm like, oh, this is
SARS.
No, this is a blood. There's a blood clot in right. my lung.
It's everything.
Oh, by the way, shout out to the doctor at Kaiser Permanente. So go over to Kaiser. You know, I used to be the union rep leader over there or whatever. I go to Kaiser. I try to sneak in. When I got a cold or some shit ain't right, I try to go somewhere where nobody know me. Because if you give me really bad news, like, I need a closet to cry in, right? So this doctor comes in, and he doesn't know me, but I think his nurse does. So she's, like, giddy. Like, oh, my God, hi, how, you know, whatever. She said everything other than congratulations on your new book.
Yeah.
The doctor comes in, and he says, so your throat's not... Well, I go, no. He goes, okay, are you sexually active?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, I don't know what pamphlet this is in. But I said, yeah, I'm sexually active. And he goes, okay, men or women or everything. And I say, everything? What is?
That's what you said? You said everything?
What category is that at the Census Bureau? That's not a category.
Everything.
I said, I'm sexually attracted to men, but what was this line of questioning? Like, is this a Tinder date? What the fuck is happening? So he says, well, no, I just want to know, like, you know, for all the tests that I want to run. I said, okay, cool. Well, you know, run it. And he goes, oral or anal? I said, hold on, sir. I need to know right now, where are we going with this? He said, because,
you know. Taking you somewhere.
So we have that conversation. So he says, you know, let me check your ears. Let me mm-hmm. check your heart. And he says, now let me check your throat. Say, ah. You know, when you're a kid, when you go to the doctor to get your physical, they put the little, I say it's the ice cream cone stick on your tongue and go, ah, okay. I say, ah, this nigga puts a swab in the back of my throat and says, I'm testing you for gonorrhea. I was so conflicted on how to feel. Yeah. First of all, I said, sir, I'm going to just be honest with you. I don't know whether to be mad at you or thank you for being thorough, but my nigga, you just swabbed my throat for gonorrhea. Anyway, it came back. I don't have gonorrhea.
Oh, good. Thank
God. And I made it through, but I say all that to say I spent time.
Long story.
I said all that to say.
I'm going to come back, okay? I say all that to say healthcare is important, and I was laying in bed. I was, for the last 3 weeks of December, I had all these plans. I'm going to go to Brazil
mm-hmm.
for New Year's. I'm going to go to Italy to see the Pope for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Get your hand slapped.
I ain't do shit.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's spicy.
He should have popped her
No,
ass.
He was right.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. I like him. He's spicy. He don't want anyone kissing the ring, yanking on his hand. He'd be like, listen.
He's old, too. I'll, he almost put him on the ground.
Yeah. The Pope needs to be on Love & Hip Hop. I'm confident that he's ready to slap a bitch. No, but I will say, I was watching everybody's posts on yachts.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching them in Israel. I was watching them in Italy. I was watching them in Dubai and
That's
all that.
Cool
and
friends.
You know what? I used to feel like FOMO. I was missing out of shit.
Fear of missing out.
Because social media will make you think you're not doing enough. I know people that are taking fake pictures with brands, acting like they got brand deals because they believe that will attract other brand deals.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that shit. I felt no more pressure. I got up. I went grocery shopping for the first time, and I don't know how long. I'm cooking my own food. I'm cleaning my own kitchen.
This is amazing to me. Going
to the gym and listening to Kanye's new choir album, which is fucking fire, and drinking tons of water and reading and chilling.
Good for you.
And I'm at peace with that. I don't feel I need to like.
There's definitely peace in running your own race for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, put that on a t-shirt. That was profound, motherfucker.
Look at Merlin coming through. With the word.
It's coming through me.
And he's not DJ Drama. Well, after DJ Drama beat the shit out of his girlfriend, people definitely know you ain't him. That nigga went viral. He beat her ass, and then she went right back to posting them on Instagram. Like, women, y'all need to say in 2020, this new decade, we not getting our ass beat no more and staying with the nigga. Like, that's just, no. And be good to your children, because they're going to grow up and write a book about you. I'm telling you.
Oh, shit.
So for more information on where I'm going, I know Delaware, Dallas, Houston, Stockton, all those dates are on my website or on my Instagram. You can go check those out. Make sure you get tickets if they're still available. If they're not, you can buy the book online. And people are asking, can they mail their book and we'll sign it and mail it back to them. We'll do that, too. So we'll figure out the address.
All right. Are you trying to come on the show? I'm here for the food?
Yeah, sure. Let me know.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm working on, like, I have, like...
Do not put me in touch with a motherfucking publicist. I'll punch you in your face.
We will work it out. I'm just trying. There's like two shows that I'm in talks with right now about going on that I think are that want the exclusive. And so I'm figuring that out. And
hopefully okay. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for after the exclusive. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll get a whole different kind of energy out of you, mm-hmm. these motherfuckers.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So Damage, new year. You're still a good dad. You're still all over Instagram with your son. Sunday fun day is a whole thing. What else is, what is your new outlook on this new decade?
Man, it's a good feeling. I think 2019, I was still in shock coming out of working for people for so long, mm-hmm. and then somehow linking up with you two, linking up with Jason, kind of showed me a different perspective on how to run my life. You know, you guys are really living the entrepreneurial life. I used to do that when I was going into college. Like, everything I did was DJ based. I was carrying my own speakers. I had my own business going. And then once I started getting into radio and television, I got pulled away from that. Mm-hmm. So it
makes you a little complacent.
Way complacent. I think 2019, I was like coming out of my shock. Like, it's a new structure, new life, and I need to be more intentional. So I kind of was just sitting back, you know, being a fly on the wall, really learning a lot from how you move and learning a lot from how you move. And I'm like kind of organizing how I'm going to attack this new decade. Literally, when the ball dropped, I was in there with two journals writing down all my goals. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't try to go out.
I have the perfect journal for you. Hold on, Kelvin. Remember that the journal we bought for all the staff. I have an extra one I want to give you. It's going to change your life.
I can use a third journal. Okay. But that's really what I'm about, man. Just being more intentional.
I want one.
Okay, fine. You want to take Damage's moment? Fine. We'll get you one,
okay,
too.
Okay, no. Thank you. Okay, sorry.
I think we have some extra ones.
Okay, thank you.
We'll both get a journal. But, yeah, I want to be more intentional, like, with my business, with my career, with my son, you know. So that's really what I've been on, just really being focused, being way more intentional, and not just being so laid back. Because I feel like 2018, 2019, there was just so much going on. I just kind of fell to the background. So I'm just trying to be more aggressive.
Can I just say, on New Year's Eve, you know, I posted an old picture. I'm going to be honest. I was not in the fucking water on some beach with a fucking Moet bottle. It was the theme I was going for. Okay, 2020, let's do this. And I want to be in a bikini.
It was a goal.
Drinking champagne. It's a goal. That's an actual picture, but not at the moment. Because what I was doing on New Year's Eve was I was going through my whole life. Because we're packing up. My mother, you know, sold our house, the house I grew up in as a child. So I had literally 1 foot in the deep past, the 80s, the 90s, looking through all these photographs and reading like the first version of text messages when you're in high school and you write a note to your friend and then, you know, class breaks and you see them in the hallway and you pass them the note.
Yeah.
And then they fill out their part and then they see you the next period and they hand you back the note. So that was the first version of text messaging people. So I'm reading all this stuff. But then we're entering into 2020. So it was very discombobulating. Like, the whole idea of like the past and present, basically what it made me think was, like you said, living life with intention.
Yeah.
Every single day living with intention, because I'm looking around at all this stuff, you know, like physical stuff, you know, the house, cars, whatever. And my mom's, you know, possibly dying, and it doesn't matter. Like, stuff doesn't matter. Intention matters. Living your life with purpose matters.
Exactly.
That is all that matters. And contributing to other people's lives matters, mm-hmm. you know, and that is what I hope, you know. Everyone's like, new decade, new year, new me. Well, really think about what the fuck that actually means. Like, that's a challenge, to live your life with intention. And I guess maybe we should all try and be like less dickheadish, you know.
Well,
we're gonna try.
I ain't gonna try.
Not us per se.
I have to tell you, know your weaknesses, right? Yeah. Like, know who you are. I am so comfortable with who I've grown up to be.
Yeah.
You know, we start the book talking about my mom was told to abort me.
Yeah.
Like, everything for my whole life was stacked against me. I will say, 2019, that last, they should have never gave me time to think. My team has been around me. I know they probably have a whole separate text group saying, We don't know what vibe this nigga's on today, but just keep, you know why? Because I am purging. Mm-hmm. I am purging people. I had already purged so many people when I got to Hollywood Unlocked and this and that. But even I had this epiphany. How many celebrities have tried to act like they were my friend in 2019? I started watching how people move publicly versus how we talk privately. Mm-hmm. And I started saying, oh, you became friends with Hollywood Unlocked so they wouldn't do their job. Mm-hmm. I had to remember who I was. I had to remember what I created, why I created this. I didn't create Hollywood Unlocked to go after people. I didn't create Hollywood Unlocked to be swayed by our relationships with people. So I have to really focus on what I'm doing, what I'm building, and why I'm building it, and be very intentional.
Yeah. Intention is
but
the
also
word.
Be very intentional about the type of people that I allow around me. People, I'm listening now to the whispers of what I should be thinking, to the loud noise of who I should be talking to. Nobody gets to tell me what I do for me and my business. And so I'm really looking at, like, at this point, y'all thought I was on fire before. I am so rested up. I'm so rested up. I stopped feeling guilty for sleeping in. I stopped feeling guilty for staying in bed a whole day. Mm-hmm. I was laying in bed one whole day. I felt guilty. I said, because you feel guilty, guess what? You're staying in bed a whole next day tomorrow. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I said, I deserve that. And I felt more youthful.
I never thought you'd ever get to that point.
Oh, yeah, fuck that. I'm not burning myself. So that way my legacy is about being burned up and then burning myself out? No, we're not doing that.
Yeah, but when I say we need to be less dickheadish, I mean we collectively, like people.
Yeah.
Because I would say one of the things that really affected me towards the end of the year, besides dealing with, my mom and the diagnosis and knowing she was selling the house and me being 3,000 miles away from it all and seeing her on Skype and seeing how much weight she's lost from the anemia and the chemotherapy, comments on social media were killing me.
But you can control that.
No. We cannot be dismissive about this because social media has been created as a dopamine hit to us, okay? There's a reason why the people that have created these platforms do not let their children on them. There is a reason because they know it is addictive. And when everything is going wrong in your life, what do you look forward to? You look for some validation. You look for some comfort. And a lot of times, the best of us find it in the praise we find in our comments section on social media. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not exempt from that. I was going through a really, really difficult time. I was spending more time on social media, which was the worst thing I could be doing. And I started to actually say some truths that I had never really said before about an experience that happened on a video set involving Wu-Tang. I did Claudia Jordan's show over on Fox Soul, and I started talking about this experience that I never wanted to talk about before, and the amount of negative criticism I received from it made me say, this is why women don't come forward. This is why women hold on to the secrets of sexual harassment, sexual abuse, sexual assaults for years and years and decades, because they are routinely questioned as to what were you doing? What were you wearing? Why were you there? Et cetera, et cetera. And it's just like, this is why they stay silent.
But women have a choice, like I did with my book, to reclaim their power, right? You can be the woman who says, why me, why me, why me? Like me for years was why me with my brother. Yeah. I remember 10 years of pure depression over his murder.
Yeah.
But then I had to take control of that. I had to take control and say, you know what? And it was Dr. Phil who said to this woman, why are you choosing to live in the one day she died, talking about the woman's daughter, instead of the 18 years she lived? Mm-hmm. It was a moment where I was like, I had forgotten all the moments because I was so marred by the way he passed. So I will say this, why me, why me, or whoa, whatever they say that saying is, whatever. We got to like literally just fall back from it and say, fuck it. It ain't real.
Yeah.
And don't be defensive about your truth. If you saying how you say what you say and that's what you felt, I won't even look for anybody to say anything because it doesn't matter.
No, I know. And so when I say that, I it's not that I was went looking for these comments. They were directed to me. So even if I opened up my page, they were directed to me. When you at somebody, they're gonna
be so busy and so consumed with what you're doing that it don't even matter.
No, I'm just saying at the time it was happening.
Yeah. Oh, at the time.
Literally I had no defenses left. Yeah. I had nothing left to give. Like you were talking about how the end of the year almost took you out.
Yeah.
We were on the same wavelength, just different things happening for us.
Yeah, I was getting tests for gonorrhea, so
I wasn't because it's nothing's going on but the rent. But yeah, so it just, I was at a deficit. You know, I didn't have anything left, so.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, you know, somebody came to my page and said, why don't you cover the what's going on in Mississippi? We are writing about Mississippi. I'm not going to waste my time. Like, you don't even do your research. And by the way, go to a new bundle collector, because them bundles ain't right. See, I told you I was going to be a dickhead. But we have somebody coming in right now, and we have Poppy Chulo in the building. Now, mind you, people, my viewers listening are like, where in the Dominican Republic is this interview taking place? Clearly, we are still here in Hollywood, but welcome to the show.
Sir.
So, I think the only other guest we've had with this kind of jewelry has been Floyd Mayweather. Have we had anybody else that's been,
Trina was blinged out.
Was she?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
so
I don't know if she had the pinky ring, though.
Well, I mean, I was saying to Poppy Chulo, listen, if you're going to come here with all this ice, go ahead and leave a parting gift.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Hollywood Unlocked, we still, you know, we still work.
I thought you said we steal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We don't
watch it.
We don't steal anymore. All right. So you're an entrepreneur that's clearly out here making a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
And we frequently have people here who our viewers want to learn more from because everybody wants to get money.
Yeah.
And so tell us about your business because you're the creator of Skip to Seven Figures. You have the Skip to Seven Figures program.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm going to be listening as you explain it because I'm trying to skip to eight, but if I could learn the seven, I just need to add a little bit on it.
There we go. Well, basically, you know, I'm just piggybacking off my company that actually made me the fortune, KO Elixir. You know, it's a skincare company for ladies, you know, and men too. If if you got stretch marks, cellulite, waist slimming, you know, I'm the guy. And, you know, with me creating the program Skip to Seven Figures, it was basically me showing people how I done it in such a short amount of time. Mm-hmm.
And so you did that through KO Elixir, through products?
Yeah, through products.
Nice.
Social media marketing.
So social media, SEO, is it all of that?
Really just influencer marketing, you know, just like dealing with people like you guys, you know. Mm-hmm. And
who did you have, like, promoting the product? And tell me more about it, because I'm a woman.
Got
like,
you. I got
sell
you.
It to me.
I got you. Well, we had numerous people, Rashida, pretty much the whole Love & Hip Hop cast, you know. Insta fame people, you know, because I was like one of the influencers as well, and I was just seeing a lot of people paying me for certain things that I was doing as well. I'm like,
and you were making them a ton of money for like
exactly
for the low,
exactly.
Yeah. And so, okay, so with KO Elixir, was it always your vision that you were going to get into beauty products? Is it not? I mean, because I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't. I mean, I know you like beauty products, but I ain't thought about it in the trajectory of my career.
Right.
Is it something that you wanted to do?
Well, I basically started with affiliate marketing.
Okay.
You know, working for everybody else, you know, pretty much pushing their products. Mm-hmm. And everything was going great once, because I normally just try different products every month just to see what's getting the most traction, the most likes.
With your audience?
Yeah, with my audience.
Okay.
You know, and I'll just create something, you know, deal with influencers, smaller, because, of course, my budget is what it is now. And just going about it that way. And, you know, one thing led to another. I realized, okay, this is making money. But one of the owners from the business I was working with, they held my money for like 3 months. I already put down on the house, lost that, because I'm like, I can't pay that, obviously, now. And I was like, man, if I'm making all this money for them, I might as well try to do it for myself.
Mm-hmm. And so then you created the Skip to Seven Figures program because that was a way of basically selling the game and telling people, like, here's how I did it and you could do it too. So tell people about that.
It's like an online course that people can subscribe to?
Exactly. Okay. You know, it's me teaching step by step. I have videos on there like how to start a business step by step with the pictures and everything, you know, how to grow a business. And I believe with me doing seven figures in 6 months, I have a lot to offer people because I started my company with $300, you know, and we ended the year with $3 million.
So is that what made you quit your 9-to-5?
Oh, man. It's quite a story with that. I was at Skechers, You know,
selling shoes?
Selling shoes.
Why
selling
not?
Shoes.
Oh, wow.
And then he walked right out.
Now they got the little hilly, see?
Yeah, man. I actually did a video on it as well, man. Me actually trying to go find my old boss just so I can thank him, you know, because I had a lot of anger in me. And basically it went back to the point where my mom had a stroke and my sister reached out to me during my lunch break. It was a Saturday. It was busy. But I'm the type of person where I'm going to come in for you even when I'm not even on the schedule if you need me. I only ask for respect no matter where I go. No matter where I go work at, I just need respect. Mm-hmm. And I'll do this like it's my company. Mm-hmm. Basically, long story short, I asked him. He wasn't with it. He was like, you better get back out there and sell some more shoes. You know?
Did they say that at Skechers?
Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
Damn.
What's this?
Yes. Gangster. It was a Saturday. I know it was highly stressful because that's our busiest day. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's still no reason for you to talk to somebody who, you know, who you was considering as a friend.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, I had two decisions, either throw down with him right then and there, or just walk out and just go see my mom at the hospital. And mm-hmm. I chose the second option. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how was your childhood and how did that mold you into the entrepreneur? Because I know for me, I went through a rough time that's mm-hmm. kind of given me a lot of skills of being driven and surviving loss and blah, blah, blah. What was your experience like?
Well, my mom was always into apartment management, and my dad was always like the head maintenance man. So it pretty much went hand in hand together mm-hmm. with, you know, learning how to manage and learning how to deal with people, mm-hmm. you know, because everybody got their issues when they come in there. Yo, my water, this mm-hmm. and that. Mm-hmm. And just seeing my dad going there and fixing it as efficient and quick as possible. You know, just killing it. So I'm like, okay, cool.
So it helped to develop your work ethic.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And just seeing that, man, and coming up, you know, selling candy in school.
Yeah.
You know, because my mom, she wasn't into buying all the nice shoes and stuff. You know, mm-hmm. she was like, shoes is shoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like,
I'm taking your ass to Skechers.
You know, I'm like, I can't walk around with some Saucony's or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I had them, man.
You know, I'm like, you know.
I don't even know what those are.
But you know, like, I'm like, man, I want to buy my first pair of Air Forces. So
yeah, yeah.
I saved up. I was selling my lunch at school, coming home hungry every single day. Mom like, dang, did you not eat enough? And I'm like, nah, I ate a little something. That was $175 I was making every single day until I was able to pay, you know, $80 for the Air Force. Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So when people pop up online as the guru for any type of business, the first thing our fans or anybody says is, ah, this is a scam. That's a scammer. Here he comes straight out of Nigeria with some bullshit.
Yahoo boy.
Have you ever had people question your, you know, your whether it's true or not true or your success?
All the time, all the time.
And how do you deal with that?
Man, I basically just tell people to stick around, follow me for a while. You know, you don't have to do exactly what I want you to do mm-hmm. starting out. I'm a person where you can be around for a long time because I understand business. Mm-hmm. I understand there's three types of customers. It's the emotional buyer, the person who buys, you know, based off of how you make them feel, the impulse buyer, the
person.
That's me. You know, the person who would buy immediately because they like something.
That's me too. Mm-hmm.
Or it's the person who sticks around. Got to stick around for a couple months, see how thing goes. And then once they finally see, develop that trust with you, then that's when they're like, okay, cool.
All right, so I have a question, right? I feel like there's a lot of people that want to quit their Skechers job and start a business. Right. But why do you feel like people, where do they go wrong when trying to start a business? Like,
man, the lack of information. The lack of information, because everybody has a certain idea from somebody who they heard, mm-hmm. you know, and it's normally like the people who are close to you, but the people who are close to you tend to not have their own business, you know, so they're just talking in general mm-hmm. and you're going off of what somebody said hearsay. In general mm-hmm. versus, hey, you need to learn A, B, C, D, and then go for it.
Was there a lot of people who discouraged you from quitting the 9 to 5? To, you know, and then venturing into your own business and becoming an entrepreneur, like, full time? Is there anybody who, like, discouraged you?
Of course, everybody.
Yeah. Really?
Everybody.
Wow.
You know, nobody didn't believe that, you know, at least it wouldn't be possible. Only because I always tried to do something, you know. If it's hustling, petty hustling, whatever it is, I'm trying to sell it.
And what are the majority of them doing right now?
Still
they're sketching,
asking you for money. They probably asking you for money.
Yeah,
all the time.
Hey, bro,
all the time.
Okay, then that was what I was gonna, like. Okay, but then that was the question I was gonna ask to follow up to that. Like, why is entrepreneurship so important? And then, like, what are some of the things that you face today?
Yeah, man, I definitely think entrepreneurship is one of the most important things because it's like, what else are we gonna pass our kids? We can't pass our kids a job, a 9 to 5. They'll have to do A, B, and C. And plus with the digital revolution getting, you know, just becoming bigger and bigger, like we just, me and my friends, we just attended a thing called CES, you know.
Oh, biggest.
You know, and we already know how that gets down.
And that's the thing. You go to CES, CES is where basically the whole tech world is there. So there's not enough black people there.
No.
But I'll tell you where you need to check out. Shout out to Morgan from Blavity. Have you heard of Afrotech?
No, I haven't.
What?
What?
And I'm missing out.
Have you heard of Afrotech?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm missing out.
No, listen. You need to go to Afrotech. We went this year in Oakland. Somebody broke into my car and stole my MCM bag and my computer, but I'm going to blame the city of Oakland for that. But Afrotech, 10,000 black tech entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Wow. And all the companies are there, from Google to Spotify to Apple to Lyft, Uber, because what people don't realize, even with Hollywood Unlocked, a .com is a tech business.
Right.
We entertain you, but it is a tech business. It's based on numbers and SEO and traffic and revenue and blah. You know, so it's good to see, you know, other people of color who are not only doing it, but also really successful at it.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, I'm going to definitely come check that out, man.
But the people that are skeptical, do you think it's because as black people, we're we're taught, you know, get a good job, raise your kids, you know, pay their tuition if you can and move on? Like,
exactly.
I don't think we're taught early to dream.
We're not.
To have it all.
Yeah. We're not. You know, and I believe that it has a lot to do with our value, how we value ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't value ourselves that high on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. We'll look at someone of another color and be like, that person is deserving of that. Mm-hmm. We are just meant for jobs. You know, I run into too many people where the people who call, who will say scam, I'll reach out to those people because I literally want to I want to know.
What made you think it was a scam?
Exactly, because I want to know what are the normal mind thinking at that point when they says, "Yo, this is a scam." Mm-hmm. In the first 10 seconds of seeing a post,
it's their default way of thinking. Exactly. Why is that? Yeah,
but, or if you put up a 30-minute course, in the first 5 minutes of posting it, they're saying it's a scam. You didn't even watch the whole 30 minutes,
right?
Exactly. But I also think a lot of what people do and how we interact with each other too, you know, goes back to our heritage, right? Mm-hmm.
That's
you
true.
Know, we were brought here and taught to work for free.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught that we would take the scraps of what life had to offer us, even in to nourish our own bodies. Mm-hmm. So I don't even think we've really thought through like how deep or
that lineage goes. It goes so deep, and it's still here today. Mm-hmm. It's still here today because people are like, well, you know, even though they can't really say the normal, yo, you was giving money. You was this and that. You know, they'll just give you the word scam without any follow-up. Like, why do you think that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, I see a lot of stuff on the internet. Okay.
Well, and they see a lot of stuff on the internet that, you know, if you don't look a certain way or dress a certain way, then that's not a scam. But if you look this, like, you could be cool, fly, rich, and successful, and black.
Right, right. Yeah. Like, most people thought I was
40. And you don't have to just be Diddy or Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, they was like, he's not 28, he's 40. And I'm like, I look 40.
So how is this an easy process? I think that's might be, I'm trying to think of the consumer, somebody might be saying scam.
Right.
Maybe you're making it look too easy. Like, how is the process hard?
Well,
you're saying 6 months, but is it a hard 6 months? Like, what is it?
Man, with me, man, like, I broke everything down into the program to show people, like, look, this is what we do, because it's pretty much on profit. You know what I'm saying? The profit margin. Like, okay, mm-hmm. if you're selling something, you know, if you buy something for $10
yeah,
and you sell it for $13, your profit margin's not like that. Mm-hmm. But if you buy it for $10 and you sell it for $60, now you got a decent profit margin. You know, you got to, you know, put in shipping and everything else as well. You know, like, I'm starting my daughter young. Like, she just flipped selling her the doll cost $7. You know, she cut the dress up real quick, did the hair, and sold it online for $20.
There you go.
You know, so she's starting young because she see her dad doing it all the time.
Good
you
for
know?
You.
And she was like, yeah, I made $13 profit. You know,
you know what? She going to grow up like Blue Ivy. She going to walk in school like, bitch, I got too much money for this.
Facts.
I'm just because, you know, she's learning how to become an entrepreneur early.
Right.
Okay, so what's the future? Like, what's the future for you and your goals? Like, what do you want to accomplish next?
Man, I definitely want to just keep getting bigger and expand it to different spaces. You know, like tech, of course. You know, I got my app getting developed. I can talk about it right now because we're almost finished. It's supposed to be like the Netflix of fitness, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be beautiful. I already talked to Damon John about it. He was super interested, you know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely trying to bring things like that to fruition and I want more of us to be in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because when we go to these places, it's not too many. Mm-hmm. It's not too many.
Well, if you talk to Damon, I ran to him at Art Basel in Miami. I was like, yo, I should get your number. Come on the show. And I think he pointed to somebody else to talk to. Mm-hmm. So I haven't called anybody. But yeah, tell him I said hello.
I got you.
All right. Well, look, we're going to put up all your information. Everybody should go and check it out. I think it's great to see another black man, I mean, roll through with Fendi and Drip. But at the same time, raising this kid, right? And you always know when somebody got braces, they got money. You know, yeah. that was always my way of determining, like, does this nigga really have money? He got jewelry. Okay, but he got braces. Like, that's just my own personal sickness. but thank you for coming on the show and sharing it. Hopefully everybody signs up. And I want to learn how to flip 7 to 8. Once I get that, then I mean.
We're going to have a different conversation then. I'm going to create a second program.
Okay, cool. And Alyssa, he got money. Make sure he buy ads. All right, y'all. We out. Peace.
Bye, everybody. All right.
Peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save